I'm sure that we have received many blessings through the ministry of Brother Lloyd Gaddy of Phoenix. In years gone by, we look forward to his discourse at this time, entitled The Three T's. The Three T's. So we turn the meeting over now to Brother Lloyd Gaddy of Phoenix.
Good afternoon, dear brethren. With grateful hearts that Janelle and I are here with you in this nice quiet place to celebrate another convention here in Asilomar. What a beautiful surroundings we have. We bring you the loving greetings of our Phoenix class, and also in a very special way, Brother Emil Hersher asked that I might convey his Christian love and greetings to you all. As you well know, he is in Europe, and according to the dawn, he's in France somewhere today with the brethren, serving them. The three T's are simply the true tabernacle. The true tabernacle. We only gave that as a catchy way of getting the attention and diverting our thoughts to the book in Hebrews. The true tabernacle, and these words are stated in the 8th chapter and the 2nd verse. It says, a ministry of the sanctuary and of the true tabernacle, which the Lord pitched, and not man. We have in our mind's eye a vision of the tabernacle that the children of Israel had, and that the Lord told them to pitch in the wilderness, and to make it in accordance with his will. And as most of us know, those things are recorded in the 27th and 28th chapters of Exodus, and the details of those things. But we are not confining our thoughts to these. The different tabernacle, a tabernacle that was and is being made by God. In this 7th chapter, we begin our lesson with the 19th verse. 'Twas the law made nothing perfect, but the bringing of a better hope did, by the which we draw nigh unto God. We know that under those conditions, the law covenant, the arrangement that God had with his people there, it made nothing perfect. But God has in mind to make a true tabernacle. And this true tabernacle began with our Lord Jesus. And we are a special part of this building that God is making at this time. And inasmuch as not without an oath he was made a priest, for those priests were made without an oath, but this with an oath, by him that saith unto him, the Lord swear and will not repent, thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. By so much was Jesus made a surety of a better testament, or a better covenant, the Sarah feature of the Abrahamic covenant. This great one that went before us was made this surety in that he was raised to the right hand of God to make intercession for us who were to be priests down through this age, prospective priests and to offer ourselves in unreserved consecration and to do the will of God at this time. And they truly were many priests because they were not suffered to continue by reason of death. In the old law, these priests were only in the office of priest until death, and then, of course, there was another priest to take his place. But we are to offer ourselves in sacrifice. And that this sacrifice will be a part of a completed sacrifice of the united church, both head and body. To this end, God is calling all these things to our attention. And if it were not for these books in the book of Hebrews, we would have no way of knowing about the tabernacle arrangement. The study in the tabernacle that we know, that you and I know, that portray something far greater, a greater work, greater sacrifices, a priesthood who offer themselves, not animals, but themselves in unreserved consecration to God. But this man, because he continueth ever, hath an unchangeable priesthood. Wherefore he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. He ever liveth to make intercession for those who are prospective members of this group. We refer to that as the Church of God. For such a high priest became us, who is holy, harmless, undefiled, and separate from sinners, and made higher than the heavens. He is our high priest. And we are, as it were, under priests. And we have those pictures, don't we, as the under priests. Those who were really beheaded in a very special way, seeking on the head and to do the will of God, to offer sacrifices holy and acceptable unto God through our Lord Jesus. It says, who needeth not daily as those priests, those under the law, to offer up sacrifices first for his own sins and then for the people, for this is he did once when he offered up himself. It was not necessary, as it was according to the law year by year, to offer up those sacrifices. Quite a contrast. But here he did this once. For the law maketh men high priests, which have infirmity. But the word of the oath, which was sent to the law, maketh the Son, who is consecrated forevermore. We continue. This scripture in Hebrews, the 5th chapter and the 5th verse, says, so also Christ glorified not himself to be made an high priest, but he that said unto him, thou art my son, today I have begotten thee. God himself, in a very special way, begot him, raised him to his own right hand, there that he might complete this true tabernacle that he has started. The true tabernacle of God that he pitched and not man. The resemblance there And all of those things portrayed in the tabernacle were made spiritual applications for us through the book of Hebrews. And so we know that this is the true tabernacle, that he is developing us as under priests to offer ourselves to him that it could be acceptable in Christ Jesus as our head, the chief priest. Let us continue in Hebrews, the 8th chapter. Now the things which we have spoken, this is the sum. We have such an high priest who is set on the right hand of the throne of the majesty in the heavens, a minister of the sanctuary and of the true tabernacle which the Lord pitched, and not man. For every high priest is ordained to offer gifts and sacrifices. Wherefore it is of necessity that this man have somewhat also to offer. What did he offer? He offered himself, unreserved, that he might do the will of God. And you and I, in like manner, should offer ourselves, and we have, to do the will of God, to offer up sacrifices that would be acceptable to God. For this is written, for this is our reasonable service. Continuing, for if he were on earth, he should not be a priest, seeing that there are priests that offer gifts according to the law. Yes, those were bloody sacrifices, but our Lord, in his own special way, offered himself, who serve unto an example of the shadow of heavenly things. As Moses was admonished of God when he was about to make the tabernacle, foresee, saith he, that thou makest all things according to the pattern showed thee in the mount. And all of these things were done according to God's will, according to his order, under the penalty of law, as we all know. If they were not carried out to the very minutest detail, there was a penalty and could be dead. But now hath he ordained a more excellent ministry, by how much more also he is the mediator of a better covenant or a better testament. These words are interchangeable. This first covenant, under the law covenant, this has come to us in this age as the seraph feature of the Abrahamic covenant. And so we, by faith, have entered into an agreement, an oath. We have entered in with God to yield ourselves in sacrifice, not of other things, but of ourselves, that we might be a blessing one to another in trial, in sickness, in health, and that we might also tell the truth and send forth this great message of truth of salvation for the whole human family. This great truth cost our Lord much. It cost him his life. But after all, we must yield ourselves even unto death, for we cannot gain the prize without dying. Continuing in the book of Hebrews in the 9th chapter, beginning with the 6th verse, says, "Now when these things were thus ordained, the priest went always into the first tabernacle, accomplishing the service of God." And in our mind, we have there that this tabernacle that was in the wilderness comprised of two compartments, the holy and the most holy. And this is what it's referring to, and offering up the services of God according to his ordinance, day by day, how that he ordered up the sacrifice of the continual offering of the ram in the morning and the evening, suggesting to us the continual or everlasting sacrifice of our Lord, the Lamb of God, who taketh away the sins of the world. Continuing in the seventh verse, it says, "But into the second went the high priest alone once every year, and not without blood, which he offered for himself and for the ears of the people." We know that this was true according to that ordinance, but according to our Lord, it was only necessary for him to go in with his own blood, for not for himself, because he was holy, harmless, undefiled, and separate from sinners, but for the ears of the people, for the satisfaction that it would bring to God in an atoning way, that you and I have this privilege of coming apart here in this special place, of raising our voice in praise and thanksgiving and study, meditation and prayer to our Heavenly Father, to commune with God in this quiet place. The Holy Spirit, this signifying that the way into the holiest of all was not yet made manifest while as the first tabernacle was yet standing. Why? Because it could not see or portray something that didn't exist at that time. But it took the factual part of our Lord's sacrifice to bring into existence the entering into this second. While it was yet standing, while this old tabernacle, the law covenant, these things were reenacted, it says, for us, that we might understand, that this picture might be formed within our minds, that we might yield ourselves more fully as priests to offer up sacrifices acceptable to God, because this is what the priests were to do, to offer these sacrifices. They portrayed something far greater, those who would be priests down through this gospel age, to offer themselves in unreserved consecration. Let us turn for a few moments back to the book in Chronicles, 1 Chronicles, the 29th chapter. And this is a recording of the acts of David when he was to gather together the things for the building of this structure that God had in mind, the tabernacle. And we know that David was unable to actually do the work, but he was able to oversee the work and have these things gathered together. Let's read the fifth verse. It says, "The gold for things of gold, and the silver for things of silver, and for all manner of work to be made by the hands of artificers, and who then is willing to consecrate his service this day unto the Lord. And what a great picture this is. Who of all the people on the face of this earth are willing to consecrate themselves for the work at hand, of the work of making this tabernacle, consecrated to this service? God has set us apart to this work, and we are expected to continue in this work until we end our course. Coming on down to the 10th verse of that same chapter 29. Wherefore David blessed the Lord before all the congregation, and David said, Blessed be thou, Lord God of Israel, our Father, forever and ever. Thine, O God, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty. For all that is in the heaven and in the earth is thine. Thine is the kingdom, O Lord, and thou art exalted as head above all. Both riches and honor come to of thee, and thou reignest over all, and in thy hand is power and might, and in thine hand it is to make great and to give strength unto all. Now therefore, O God, we thank thee and praise thy glorious name. But who am I? And what is my people that we should be able to offer so willingly after this sort? For all things come of thee, and of thine own have we given thee. For we are strangers before thee, and sojourners, as were all our fathers. Our days on the earth are as a shadow, and this is nothing abide, and there is nothing abiding. O Lord our God, all this store that we have prepared to build thee an house for thine holy name cometh of thy hand and is all thine own. I know also, my God, that thou triest the hearts and hast pleasure in uprightness. As for me, in the uprightness of mine heart, I have willingly offered all of these things, and now have seen with joy thy people, which are present here, to offer willingly unto thee. And as we think of this, we have a portrayal of a picture, of the picture of David as if this is portrayed. Christ in the flesh, here portraying his offering those things that we have received of God. All of those things offered at his disposal in his service to erect his building. What a consecration this represents. What dedication. And what great power is manifested in this. There's a marginal reference in the book of Exodus, the 25th chapter and the 40th verse. I'd like to read. The verse reads, And look that thou makest them after their pattern, which was showed thee in the mount. And this was told them, as we portrayed a few moments ago. But it says in the margin, which thou wast caused to see. And as we review these tabernacle pictures, God caused us to see these things that are portrayed for us in a spiritual way, the sacrifice that is necessary of those to be priests that he has chosen from out of every nation, kindred, and tongue. Turning back again to the book of Hebrews, the ninth chapter and verses 9th verse. While this tabernacle was yet standing is the end of that last thought that we gave. That old tabernacle, which was a figure of the time then present, this is the 9th verse, in which were offered both gifts and sacrifices that could not make him that did the service perfect. What a difference. He's calling our attention to the sacrifice that is necessary for our service to be made acceptable. As pertaining to the conscience, the last part of that verse, which stood in only in meat and drinks and divers washings and carnal ordinances imposed upon them until the time of Reformation. It's talking about the nation of Israel. These things were imposed upon them as a law covenant until the time of Reformation, until the kingdom comes, and they will be under that order, under the new arrangement, the new tabernacle, the true tabernacle arrangement. How strong are those words? How beautiful is that picture? To bring again all men in harmony with God. And God hath foreordained these things to come to pass. And as we know, God's word is sure. But Christ, being come and high priest of good things to come, by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, not as that tabernacle there, but God is developing his own true tabernacle in this particular time. This is to say, not of this building. That perfect tabernacle. It will be as God has ordained. And so we must yield ourselves to the order of the occasion for the consecration vow that we have given to carry that out, to do the will of God. Oh, we can't go into the details of all of these things it entails, of how we should live according to the best of our ability. But this is a thought to be perfect and to bring into thought everything in accordance with God's will. Continuing in the 12th verse of this 9th chapter, says, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. And that's why we're here today. We're here to study, to learn, to meditate, and to yield ourselves more fully to the service of God. To shut ourselves apart from the cares of the world and this convention. And to entertain God's thought through his word that we might really appreciate more fully this calling that he has given us. Skipping down to the 24th verse of that night's chapter, it says, "For Christ has not entered into the holy places made with hands, which are a figure of the true, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us." Now, that priest back there in those days could not do this because he was imperfect, as you and I are imperfect. We only wear this robe of righteousness by faith. And we want to stay in this tabernacle. We want to yield ourselves, abide in this tabernacle. The picture that is portrayed here for us. Remember that that was just a tent, a cloth hut. But yet it was a habitation. It was a picture of a habitation. And here we find a picture of ourselves abiding under the Spirit of God. How beautiful these things are. In 2 Corinthians, the 5th chapter and the 4th verse, For we that are in this tabernacle do groan, being burdened, not for that we would be unclothed, but clothed upon, that mortality might be swallowed up of life. Yes, we still do groan in this present tabernacle, this flesh that we have, and only that we could yield it more fully to that service is portrayed by our Lord, who was the one who is our picture, our ideal, our hero. But it behooves us to look to that and keep it in mind. Not as it were if we will ever attain to that perfection, but keep in mind we wear that robe of righteousness by faith. And that robe is still there, abiding for this true tabernacle that God is building. In Revelation, the 21st chapter, and the 3rd verse, the word stayed, and it says, "I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God." This great tabernacle that God is molding today, the true tabernacle, will be with his people. There will be a covering, a habitation for those people to be instructed in that day. And what a beautiful picture that is of God's great wisdom and his great power to be brought into an influence within the world of mankind by pouring out his Spirit upon all flesh. In conclusion, Hebrews, the 12th chapter, verses 22, beginning. "But we are come unto Mount Zion, and to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to an innumerable company of angels as witnesses, and to Jesus, the mediator of a new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling that sprinkleth, it speaketh, better things than that of Abel. See that you refuse not him that speaketh. He's talking to us. For if they escaped not who refused him that spake on earth, the destruction that took place upon those people in the type, much more shall not we escape if we turn away from him that speak from heaven. Whose voice then shook the earth, but now he hath promised, saying, yet once more I will not the earth only, will shake not the earth only, but also heaven. And this word, yet once more, signifieth the removing of those things that are shaken as of things that are made, that those things which cannot be shaken may remain. How we see before our very eyes this day the shaking of the heavens. Recently, we have seen the things on TV of the shaking of these. This movement they call the PTL movement. All of these things, the spiritual shaking, that all things that can be shaken will be taken away, that only those things that cannot might remain. And so let us be abiding in this true tabernacle that God has prearranged for those who he has called for a very special purpose of blessing all the families of the earth. May the Lord add his blessing.
Thank you, Brother Gaddy. Really appreciate that for an opening discourse. How blessed we are to have had our eyes open to something concerning this true tabernacle. It's a blessing that has certainly been a great encouragement to us. Our hope is centered in that true tabernacle, really, isn't it? So we do appreciate this. It's a good solid foundation to build on as the convention proceeds. Just two very brief announcements at this time. Those who have young children, the management of Asilomar has been very definite in telling us that young children are to have supervision, adult supervision at all times. They cannot be left to be on their own. They're either in class or they're under supervision of their parents. So let us please bear that in mind. You notice on the program that the evening dinner is at 6 o'clock. So we cannot eat before 6. I think most of you are familiar with the arrangements here at Asilomar. First, remember to have your meal ticket. Because if you don't have your meal ticket with you, you don't eat. Be sure you put your name on the meal ticket. If you haven't already done that, do so immediately. Because every year it seems that there's at least one meal ticket or so that is lost. So if you don't have your name on it, you may not get it back. So be sure you do that. And so following dinner, we will begin the evening program at 7:30 with a discourse by Brother Ray Krupa. We'll have further announcements at that time. So Brother Gaddy has requested that we close his service with the singing of hymn 238, Heavenly Truth, which he will close with prayer, and he will ask the Lord's blessing upon our evening meal and our fellowship together during this intermission period. Thank you.
It is with grateful hearts, dear Father, we come before you in the name of Jesus to hallow thy holy name. We do thank you, dear Father, for this assembly, for each heart bowed before you this time, and for each of our brethren. We ask thy special blessing upon our hearts and minds during the convention, that we may be spiritually uplifted and spiritually refreshed and receive that spiritual blessing that we have come here to receive. Do guide and direct according to this, our need. Pray for more of thy spirit to this end. We pray a special blessing, dear Father, upon our brethren the world over. And we particularly remember those that are undergoing severe trials and tests, as thou knowest each and every one individually. Pray thy comfort and blessing and uplifting to each one. Continue with them. Now we ask thy blessing upon those that would like to have been here but could not for various reasons, and those who will continue to follow in the further exercises of this convention, we pray. And now, dear Father, as we part to our meal, we ask thy special blessing upon the food, and to offer thanks for it, to bless it to nourish our bodies, and bless the fellowship together, those of kindred minds. Bless, dear Father, the word spoken from thy word of truth, that it may be more dear to our hearts and that we may be able to yield ourselves more fully to thy service. Guide and direct us to this end. Continue with us. Encourage us. Lift our hopes and aims high to that of Christ. We pray to thy honor, and we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.